Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC, and so most of these sermons are from me.
Our scripture is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 through 32. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.
So this morning is an interesting sort of confluence of events in many ways. We're celebrating, on the one hand, Earth Stewardship Sunday, which is always the Sunday that is closest to Earth Day on April 22nd. And just a few moments ago, we baptized and even confirmed several of our young folks who have been working towards this day for a number of weeks, learning about what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be a person of faith. And doing all of this while still basking in the joy of Easter. Easter was amazing. And today we continue to bask in that joy. Today is indeed a good day. And I think, as I was preparing for this morning, that this convergence gives us a chance perhaps to look at things a little bit differently, maybe from a different angle of vision or maybe a different lens. Now, you've probably heard me say, if you've been here for very long, that when we talk about stewardship, we're talking about a whole lot more than just how we handle our money. I realize that over the years, the church, we've sort of reduced that word, stewardship. And now when we hear the word stewardship, what do we think of? We think of budgets, annual giving campaigns. In a sense, we've sort of equated or at least tied or connected stewardship to fundraising. But stewardship is so much more than fundraising. It's so much more even than the way that we handle our money. That's part of it, to be sure, but only a small part. You see, when we talk about stewardship, we're talking about how we are faithful with everything that God has entrusted to us. The way we spend our time, which some would argue is the most valuable resource, the most precious resource that we have. But stewardship also refers to how we care for our bodies, what we eat, how we exercise, how we care for this temple that God has created in us and of us. Stewardship also has a lot to do with the way that we use our gifts and our resources and our talents and how we use those to glorify God, to build up the church, and to make the world a better place. But stewardship is also about the way in which we care for the environment, the way that we care for God's creation, or maybe the way that we don't care for it, as way too often the case may be. I read this last week that Americans make up 5% of the global population. Americans, 5% of the global population, but yet we consume 20% of the Earth's energy. We consume 30% of the Earth's natural resources. And we produce 40% of the garbage in the world. One could easily make the argument that our nation is not exactly leading the world in terms of being good stewards of God's creation. And if anybody should be leading the forefront in terms of what it means to be good stewards of God's creation, should it not be people of faith who recognize that Everything in the earth, everything that is of the earth belongs to God, and we have been entrusted to it. The Discovery Channel produced a series a few years ago called The Planet Earth. And in that series, they reported that if the rest of the world consumed at the same rate as Americans, remember those statistics that I gave you just a minute ago, 20% of the energy, 30% of the resources, we produce 40% of the garbage, that if all of the world lived by that same ratio, that we would need four Earths in order to maintain the needs of our global population. But the last I checked, this is the only one we've got. You may remember, people of faith, that in the book of Genesis, we are given, in the very beginning, we were given dominion over the rest of creation. But I think we've, in the same way we've misappropriated the word stewardship, I think in some ways we've misappropriated that word dominion. Daniel Meyer, who's an observant Jew, but also the senior scientist who researches lead toxicity at the University of Wisconsin, he points out that, but by that word dominion, that may not be the best translation. That the original Hebrew of that word means to guard or protect. Recognize that we need resources to live. The key is how we use those resources. The way that we use them, maybe to say the way in which we guard them and protect them. There's this sense of sustainability. And it's clear from the text that we don't have the right to do just anything that we want, thinking that we somehow are the owners of the earth. God is the owner. God is the creator. And we are the ones who have been given this gift on loan, which at some point needs to be returned in the same condition, if not better, than we received it. Maybe you could look at it a slightly different way. Doesn't it make sense? If God created the heavens and the earth, as we believe, God gave us dominion over that to guard and protect, that if we don't care for it, that if we don't respect the earth and all of God's creatures, aren't we disrespecting God? In the second creation story in Genesis chapter 2, God creates the first human out of the dirt. In fact, the word Adam, from which we get the name Adam, literally means dust or dirt. And then Adam is given the command to cultivate or to till. And the word there in Hebrew is the word abad. And that word literally means to serve. It's used to express the servitude of servants to masters, from one group to another, of people to God. And the human being is given, Adam is being given to the service of the earth upon which its life, upon which its livelihood depends. Human beings in this account are then placed in a position of dependence on nature rather than dominance over it. In other words, we as people of faith are called to serve the earth, to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us, not to exploit it for our own use. I heard an Easter sermon recently that was entitled, "She Thought It Was the Gardener." And this preacher spoke on John's version of the story of the Easter narrative, where Mary, you know, you remember John's version, Mary is the one who shows up and discovers that the tomb is empty, and she stands there weeping when all of a sudden someone appears behind her. She's not sure who it is. She assumes it was the gardener, not knowing until later that it was Jesus. But assuming it was the gardener, she says, "Sir, look, if you took him, tell me where you took his body, and I will go and I will care for it." This preacher brilliantly made the connection, something that I have to confess, I'd never made that connection, this correlation, that the whole story, the whole narrative, the whole biblical narrative starts in the garden. the Garden of Eden, and now John, who places the resurrection story in the garden, is talking about, when talking about resurrection, when talking about Easter, a whole new creation. The old has gone, a new has come. And so when Mary thinks she's talking to the gardener, this is a subversive story about a whole new creation bursting forth right here in the midst of this one. That something new is being planted, something new is coming to life. He's been buried in the earth, and then he rises. The Easter story is about a seed that falls into the ground and it's buried and covered with soil, but then rises and brings new life. It's a story about the ongoing creation of the world. Can I get an amen? Whoa. That's good stuff. Granville Walker was the senior minister here at University Christian Church from 1943 until 1973. And in many ways, you could say he sort of built University Christian Church, at least helped it, nurture it, prepared it to become what it is today. And in one of the final sermons that he ever preached in this place, he talked about why it is that we give ourselves to the church. And he talked about he pointed us to an essay that was written by Cicero, who was a Greek philosopher who lived 100 years before Christ. And the essay was called On Old Age. And it talked about how farmers planted seeds in hoping to reap the next harvest, but also planted seeds to serve a race to come. Cicero himself, an old man, and Walker at this time was getting late in his age. He found meaning in thinking about the children and the grandchildren and still the other children who one day enjoy the shade and the protection and the beauty of the trees that Cicero was planting. Surely he was thinking of the old Greek proverb, "A society grows great when old people plant trees in whose shade they know they shall never sit." Now, this is not an unfamiliar notion, an unfamiliar concept. In fact, if you do a quick Google search, you'll find all sorts of different variations on that theme. Nelson Henderson, who was a farmer who served in World War I, writing to his son on his graduation day, said, "The true meaning of life, Wesley, the true meaning of life is to plant trees under whose shade you never expect to sit." And those of us who love the musical Hamilton, you may remember Hamilton sings at one point, "Legacy? What's legacy?" Legacy is planting seeds in a garden that you never get to see. Reminded me of a story. When I was a TCU student in the late 80s, our biggest rivalry at that time was SMU. Southern Methodist in Dallas. And I will confess that part of the reason, this is back in the old Southwest Conference days, and part of the reason that SMU was our biggest rivalry is because they were about the only one that we could beat in anything. That was sort of, so we really got up for those games. And yet, and part of it too was because of the violations. You may remember, those of you who were around, the violations about paying athletes at that time. And both of us, both SMU and TCU, were on probation. And we would call the annual matchup when TCU would play SMU the probation bowl, because we knew that was as close to a bowl game as either of us were going to get. And so we developed this rivalry. And several years after I graduated, SMU was playing TCU here in Fort Worth at Amon G. Carter, and the SMU band played a prank on us. Some of you may remember this. Their band marched on the field at halftime, and unbeknownst to anybody at the time except themselves, they all had in their pocket a pocket full of grass seeds. And not just any grass seeds, but the type of grass that doesn't go dormant during the winter. And so at one point, when they spelled out SMU on Amon G. Carter's field, they all just emptied their pockets. And months later, when the field went dormant, there was a green SMU written across the Amon G. And as angry as that made me, and probably you too, you have to admit, that's a pretty good prank. Surely, the meaning of life is to plant trees under whose shade we never expect to sit. Granville, in that sermon on why we give ourselves to the church, said, "We work here and now in the church, planting the seed of the gospel in confident expectation of reaping the next harvest." He went on to say, "The crucial question for the young people and the old folks alike in this moment is not whether a particular church will last 1,000 years, but whether it's here today, whether it's vibrant and alive today." You see, we need the church now. We need to be taught what it means to be children of God now. We need to experience Christian compassion and helpfulness to a less privileged people now, Walker says. We need Christian family life now, maybe as we have never needed it before. We need responsible citizens who influence our economic and our political institution with their commitment to the Christian faith today, Granville said. Knowing that in that moment that he was planting seeds or shade trees of which he would never sit. We never know, do we? But those children, those young people that we just baptized, that we just confirmed, we don't yet know what their life will produce, what they will go and do, who they will be, and how they will shape the world in the years ahead. But I would argue that the church, that the youth are not the church of tomorrow. They are a vital, life-giving part of the church today, and we need them to remind us of what is most important. There was a church that had fallen on hard times, and they gathered together for a congregational meeting to wrestle with and to decide whether or not they were going to close their doors. And at this congregational meeting, there was probably 20, 30 people that were gathered there, the remnant few of this once strong and vital congregation. And several people spoke and said, "Yes, we should probably just close our doors." And there are other people that said, No, we need to hang on. We need to hang on for the future of the church." And finally, someone looked to a 12-year-old boy who was sitting not far away, the only youth that was still left in that church. And they said, "Josh, what do you think? You've been awfully quiet in the midst of this debate. What do you think?" And Josh stood up and he walked to the microphone. And he said, "I know three things. We're going to need the Bible. We're going to need to be brave. And we're going to need to be bold." And the person that told me the story said, in that moment, it became clear that the Holy Spirit had chosen this child to speak to that church and to remind them what was most important. And so on this day, as we baptize children, as we talk about what it means to be good stewards of everything that God has entrusted to us, we're going to need the Bible. We're going to need to be brave. And we're going to need to be bold. Because the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone planted in a field. It's the smallest of seeds, but it grows into a mighty tree. May we be reminded on this day of the trees in which shade we will never sit. Amen. So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are, or where you come from, or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.